glad to be an American. I am proud of our armed forces, but I'm also glad to be a child of the King, and I'm glad for our country. It is still called the better country, and it will prove to be so. The only obstacle that we have in front of us is just getting there. And by the grace of God, we shall. Amen. We want you to turn to the book of Job. We want to say again, we're so glad to have everyone that's here. It's been our folks that have been coming from Merlin Heights. We found out the other night that she is a Hoosier. Is he a Hoosier too? We got another group of Hoosiers. It always makes me sort of want to button my coat and straighten up. Finally, we got some more Hoosiers. It's wonderful. All right. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. If you have it, say amen. Got it? Job 14 and 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. This morning, if God would help me, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on why I believe in immortality. Why I believe in immortality. If a man die, shall he live again? That's the oldest question. It's brought to us in this book of Job, because Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And one of the oldest questions from the heart of man is this question: if a man die, shall he live again? That's a question. It's a heart question. It's not something you can just pass off, because all of us will come to that place when we will deal with what the man is wondering about. The word is die or death. If a man die, we have lived long enough to know that it's appointed a man wants to die, and then the judgment. It's nothing out of the question. The question is, shall he live again? Man knew from Adam, and the first casualty happened just outside the garden. It was not a marauder that came. It was not a vicious beast that came. It was a brother rising against a brother. And that brought murder. And murder brought death. Death has been in the family ever since. The question has never been resolved completely until you can get to the place where you can look at death and understand what death's purpose is. It is about death and what happens to us afterward that Job is probing. He called it my appointed time. And he said, I wait upon my appointed time. And then when the appointed time gets there, he expected a change. But it did not satisfy him, knowing just that there was a change coming. But he wanted to know if there could be hope. Hope that you can become something better. If we die and we get up like we die, we're not going to be happy. We need a change. Yeah, right. If we die and we can have a hope in our heart that there is a something better, then we can hope with confidence. Amen. Job will say in this same book, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? That's another question. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea and the floods decay and dry up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. That if you look at the appearance of death, it seems settled. It seems like there is no other thing that can happen. You look at people who have just gave up the ghost. They do not respond to touch. They do not respond to words. They do not respond to emotion. And if you was to watch the body, you would see that Martha is quite right when she said, by now he stinketh, because corruption will set in. Amen. And it looks like death has won. But that is not all there is of a man. Man has a body, but he also has a spirit, and then he also has a soul. And of the three, the soul is the one that is the most important. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. Jesus will tell us that the position of the soul in the sight of God is the one that takes preeminence. A body, he can make us, but he only makes us one soul. You may have two bodies. An earthy one and a terrestrial one. And if you're born again, you will have earthy one. And then we're looking forward to a terrestrial one. So we can have two bodies, only one soul. That's why Jesus will say to us that if a man gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul. What's a gain then if you lose your own soul? Because that's the only one you can lose. You can't lose mine. I must play the fool to lose mine. But you can lose yours. And it's irreplaceable. Once forfeited, you can never get it back. Once it goes back to God and God reclaims it, and it is not born again, blood washed, sanctified, if it's not been touched by God, he can destroy a soul. He said, fear not them that can destroy the body, and when they've done that, that's all they can do. But rather, I tell you whom to fear. Fear him that can take both body and soul.
Yes, sir.
You see, you are in a position right now to where the wisest move you can take is to take care of your soul. The dumbest thing you can do is to lose your soul. Man dieth and wasteth away. That's true. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? That ghost is the spirit of life. He said then it just begins to decay. It dries up. It lays down. It riseth not till the heavens are no, be no more. They shall not awake, neither be raised out of sleep. But what does hope say? Hope says, my flesh also shall rest in hope. That's when everything's right. You've got repentance. We understand that our future, the reason is that if God has no future for us, then we're of all men, we are losing out. Our own soul is in jeopardy. God's own Son spoke this word of hope. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. John 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. He said, you can have this hope, because if this hope is not a good hope, I would have told you. Don't hope in that. That'll never come to pass. But yet Jesus talks about the Father's house, him going away to prepare a place for us and coming again to receive us unto himself. And he says all of this about coming and going, and simply says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I would not let you believe in a hopeless situation. That 118 names is not one of them hopeless. There's not a hopeless situation on that page of 118 names. You see, Jesus would not have allowed us to even think such things if it were not true. But he never told us that it wasn't true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If only in this life. Paul is saying, but this is not all there is of life. Anybody here going to help me preach this morning? Paul says of 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which is death. We shall not all die. We shall not all go in the grave, but we shall all be changed.
Thank God.
Job said, I'm waiting for my change to come. Paul said, there is really a change coming. It's not death. It's something that happens because you die. You're going to be changed. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, verse 31 says, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? Do you notice how Jesus done that? That is our Lord speaking. He's speaking to the Sadducees about the resurrection. They brought up this fantastic story that they felt like just simply clinched the fact that there was no resurrection. And they said, this woman married this elder brother, and he died. She married his younger brother. He died, and the younger brother died, and they all died. And the Sadducees said, seven have had her. That's Bible language. Seven had her. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, have you not read? Have you not read what God said about the resurrection? Jesus would tell them that they don't get married in heaven. That is not that important in heaven. But he said they'll be like angels. Am I right? That's the only hope for some of you guys ever to be like angels. Listen to what Jesus says. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God said that. He said that to Moses. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God said, if I get personally acquainted with you, no, you're dead. Yet if you believe, you'll never die. He is the God of the living. And we search scriptures and we look and we try to find out, what does that mean? God is the God of the living. And Jesus takes his disciples, three of them, up on a mountain, was transfigured. It's nothing to see the Lord. We don't ever think about him not being able to be transfigured. He was always close to heaven. He was always in touch with his Father. He always carried that inner power of Godhead and deity. He was very man, but very God. So when he got closer to heaven, he turned back to what he was when he came out of heaven. So when he went on a high mountain and God came down in that cloud, heaven came down and he reverted back to what he was. And his face changed and his garments changed and his stature changed and his attitude changed and everything about him was transfigured. But that's not the amazing part. The same moment Moses was there and Elijah was there. And here they are walking around talking. The only place in the Gospels that you find anybody talking is dives, and he's on the other side of the Gulf, and he's in hell in a torment. And we'd say, well, all right, folks are tormented in hell, but what about folks that's been dead for hundreds of years? How do they look? We hear this man talk about a drop of water and tormented in these flames. And we say, yeah, that's probably right. But what about these people who have died serving God? And all of a sudden, here it is. The veil is parted. Look. A little preview, a little snapshot of what immortality is. And the amazing thing is that somebody so temporal as Peter could recognize somebody who is so powerful as Moses. He's seen him and he didn't say, who is that? In the book of Revelation, John will be asked the question, who are these? He said, I don't know. You tell me. But here is Peter, James, and John on top of a mountain. And Peter said, let us make three tabernacles here. One for Moses. And he was absolutely correct. It was Moses. And one for Elijah. And again, he was absolutely correct. Somewhere in the mystic somewhere. Somewhere before Calvary. Somewhere before the empty tomb was emptied, there was still the power of God that makes people live. He buried Moses, but he didn't bury his soul. He caught Elijah away, and Elijah came into his presence, and Elijah didn't die. And if he'd wanted to, he could have brought Enoch down and paraded Enoch around and said, Enoch, walk with me, and I took him home with me, and here is Enoch alive. You see, right here in this great text, there is this unique one time only in the New Testament that Jesus argues any point. And he argues the point for future life. In others, he makes statements. In others, he assumes and proclaims. But here he gives a reason. And the reason that he gives is God. God said it. I am the God of the living, not the dead. Oh, somebody ought to have shouted amen on that one. He is arguing for faith in immortality. His argument is just in a word. Through this power, through this power, which death is but weak and a shadow, through this power that God possesses, which makes the valley of the shadow of death something you go through. You do not fall power under death. He has chosen. He has answered the call. He has kept his word. He comes through the darkness and separation, and there is no end. So for us, when the hour strikes, and we join the list of the elect, 118, 119, 120, and it will keep growing. It will keep increasing. And there will be a few more sobs, and there will be another choke in the throat as we hear the name. We recall the face. We recall the worship. We recall the praise. We recall the life. And then we wonder what has happened to them. I would like to deliver to you this morning that Jesus' argument stands true. God is still not changed. He's the God of the living and not the dead. Oh, thank God. Jesus will say it this way. So when that hour comes and strikes and we lay down at last, and it may be as if we hear the very voice of Christ, you are still mine. You are still mine, and you are still my friend. And because I live, ye shall live also. I have been there. When a lot of my people have gone on, I've only been left with their corpse. I have been there till the people with the occupation of Brother Brian comes, or other folks who are of that first called business that come and receive them and take them to Brother Brian. I've watched. I have been there when my heart broke, when Sister Susie and Pat's mom was there. I stayed. I watched. I walked with her out the door to the hearse. When Homer sped away from us, I stayed. I watched. I've never seen one of them get up when God wanted him to come home. I have been privileged to see those that it was not their time and death came too early, that God rebuked death and let them live again. I was there when my mother made her pilgrimage to the other world. I walked with her to the hearse and watched the door close and watched the taillights as it drove off in the night. Death has something permanent about it if you don't have faith. But faith says, not so. I will see you again. It's what Jesus said. The angels also believed it. He got up after the third day, stayed around those 40 days for infallible proofs that he was alive. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, over 500 brethren seen him. He said, of which I am the last, but I saw him. Yes. Angels said as he ascended up, this same Jesus that you see go away will come again in like manner. Am I right? He will come again in like manner. Yes. Paul puts the little footnote on there and he said, and them which are dead in Christ will God bring with him.
Right.
That's the rule of immortality. They are with God, and you can't die in the presence of God.
Come on,
and you can't rot in the presence of God. And you don't change in the presence of God. Once you're in the presence of God, Paul makes it one of those mysteries. He loved to do that. Peter said he said some hard sayings. So when we look at death, we see a person going from life into something that we can't explain. But Paul said, don't just accept it like that. Look at it. He said it's sowing bare grain. You know what bare grain is, don't you? Corn, wheat, barley, wildflower seeds. Every once in a while, me and Sister Sutherland will get rambunctious and we'll buy one of those wildflower packages that's got everything in it. Boy, they're hard to root out after they give them that year of grace. Then you start pulling them out. Because they are something else. But those seeds that you pour out in your hand, you look at them, some of them just so little, so insignificant, and none of them are alike. None of them are alike. But that is not what they are going to appear like. Those are just a seed. When that seed dies in the ground, it puts up a shoot, then a stem. Leaves, then a little bud, then a blossom. Yes, amen. Then life goes through the cycle and goes back into the seed. Right. To die again. Yes. But that's just plant life. But Paul said, let me tell you a little secret here. Uh-huh. It doth not yet appear what you shall be. Right. Something better's coming. Here you see the bare grain.
Yeah, right.
But you ain't seen me look good yet.
Come on.
Somebody said, preacher, you like to style and profile. Try to make the best out of what I got.
Yes, sir.
But you ain't seen my best yet. Sister Phyllis was reminding me. She said, I got a picture of you when your hair is black. And she said, I look at it as I go out the door. And I said, I got one hanging up here in my office. And I look at it every time I go out the door just to remind myself, I'm not going to be here forever.
Come on.
I'm waiting for my day when the seed will fall into the ground.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the day when they will hear a trumpet sound.
Right.
And then look out
for
what comes up. Will be not what went down. For as he is, so shall you be also. I'd like to say to everyone that's lost somebody this morning, we didn't lose anything. We know where they're at. I believe in immortality. A little closing remark from Judges chapter 13. Manoah and his wife are visited by an angel. He visited her first, and she goes and tells her husband. Her husband goes to prayer, and he prays. Let this angel come again so we'll know how to do for this boy. So he comes, and this angel tells them again and instructs them again exactly what they're to do. It's all on the woman. How many knows it's all on the woman? Manoah, they don't have to do nothing.
Right.
The woman is, you're not to drink. You're not to chew raisins. You're not to eat grapes. You're not to let a razor come on this boy's head. It's all on the woman. That's who he came to see, to tell the woman how to raise that child. Do a good job, ladies, because heaven puts the responsibility on you. Boy. There wasn't an amen in any one of these houses. I can't help it. But when they make this sacrifice and put it on the rock and put the fire to it and it begins to burn, the angel steps up in the fire and he goes away. Noah says, we shall surely die. We shall surely die because we've seen God. But then the woman comes through, and thank God for women that are shrewd and thinking. There are some women who can think. I wish all women could think. I wish all men could think. I didn't get over there, but now that I'm over here, I wish men could think too. But I thank God that he had a woman that could think. He was ready to die. He was ready to run. He was ready to get out of there. He didn't know what was going to happen. He was a nervous wreck. And she said, calm down. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. She said, think about it. God wanted you dead. He wouldn't have went to all that trouble. God don't want you dead. God wants you living. You may pass through a lot of things. You may not understand everything that you're going through. But remember, if he's been good enough to save you, if he's been good enough to sanctify you, if he's been good enough to give you the Holy Ghost, if he's been good enough to answer prayer, if he's been good enough to heal you, he isn't about to throw you away. He's got too much invested. And if you understand science at all, you will understand that matter can never be completely destroyed. That's why if you're burnt to an ash, you are really not destroyed, because God keeps track of the matter. If you're ground up or whatever, scattered over the fields, God does not lose track, because all of your matter matters to him. And when the time comes, he will take the mess and make something beautiful out of it. Oh, when we get up, that great morning, when we get up, we shall be like him. Amen. He will not forsake us. He will replace us with something better. Oh, you're not helping me this morning. You see, a lot of folks don't even think about what the Bible says to us. He said, are not the very hairs of your head numbered? Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to keep track of that? Why would anybody want to go to the trouble of numbering hairs? That means if you go to the trouble of numbering hairs, you've got to count the pores, because that hair has got to go back. Pore number one is hair number one. Pore number two is hair number two. Pore number three is hair number three. And it goes on. Now, why would anyone want to go to the trouble of telling you that the very hairs of your head are numbered if he was not going to put hair number one back in pore number one? He's not going to put it back where it belonged and make you better. What's better? You're never going to lose a hair in heaven. You won't have to ever die it again. The word moderation is not in heaven's dictionary. It's a land where we will never get fat. I'm going to be like him. Did you ever try to imagine a fat Jesus? What's he look like? What's he look like to you? What's he look like to you? Did you ever try to imagine him? Here I do things to myself. I do them to myself. I blame everything that happens to me on me, because I'm the person that lets it happen. I do not blame you. I don't blame her because she's a good cook. I blame myself because I don't know when to say stop. I want her to be a good cook. Want her to be a chef if she wants to be. Want her to bake cakes this tall and this round and that good. I want her to do it all. I don't want her to stop. I just want to know when I need to say, stop. Am I right? In heaven, that is an automatic. Because you can't be a glutton on earth and please God. And you can't be out of control on earth and please God. So when I get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of automatics that are set. Because I won't need food. I will eat. Because I will have a resurrected body that can eat and drink. Oh, you said, Brother Benny, yeah, my eyes will still see and my ears will still hear and my tongue will still talk. I will be alive. I'm not going to be half of me. I'm going to be all of me, finally. All of me, all of my potential is finally come to fruition. I will finally be what God created me to be. All of my mind will work. My eyes will see. My ears will hear. I will be able to think things that I never was able to think here. I will be able to love without limitation. I will never hate again. I will never despise again. I will never regret again. I will never cry again. I will be what God wants me to be, and that's like Jesus Christ. Can't wait to go, can you? Are you afraid of things? Do you have phobias? Do you have phobias? Afraid of a spider? Afraid of a snake? Got any phobias? No phobias allowed. For perfect love casteth out all fear. Can I get you interested this morning in going to heaven? If I can't get you interested in going to heaven, then let me tell you something, people. You'll go to hell.
That's right. That is right.
Because there's only two places that souls go.
Right.
And bodies will be joined.
Yes.
In heaven, we'll receive a new glorified body. In hell, you'll receive a body and your soul will come back to it. In hell, you will not be in the presence of God. You will be out of the presence of God for all the rest of eternity. So I offer you this morning two things, just two, heaven or hell, which offer you a chance to improve, to be better than you've ever thought you could be. By going to heaven. And to offer you another choice. That if you don't choose heaven. And you go to hell. You will be tormented by the memory that you could have been better. And that you didn't have to go. If you miss your chance. Of immortality. If you refuse. To be changed. I have told people as they've come by caskets, I have ministered in a lot of funerals. I said, you have two choices. It all depends on your heart. I said, you can tell them good night because morning's coming, or you can tell them goodbye because you'll never see them again. And this morning, I come to you with one. People that we know love have gone on, and that is just a small number because of all died from Adam.
Right.
You cannot on him. That's concrete proof that there's going to be a day when you will meet Jesus Christ face to face.
Right.
And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you're not born again,
yes,
you're going to hell.
Right.
Right.
Shout for joy. Yes. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. How many's got a hope that you can live again? How many's got a hope? Raise your hand. Don't just stick it up and pull it down. Raise it up. Look around, sir. Look around. Is it worth losing your soul? Is it worth taking a chance? We'll die and know it. You'll never live again after. Or you'll get up. You'll go on your body. I'd say a wise man would look at that child and that wife, and you would say, I want to spend eternity with you. I want us to live again. I want us to enjoy life again. Anyone here this morning that you'd like this to step out and say, I'd like to have life. I want life. As she sings, this altar is open, and we want you to come and make that decision. It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. It's enjoying life or hating the very existence that you will spend in hell, because in hell there is no escape. In hell there is no comfort. In hell there is no repentance. But you don't have to die lost. You can come and get saved this morning and start your journey of life. This altar's open.